darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. My name is Abraham Hamilton III. I am the host of this program, joined by the Corner Contingent. Right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. And in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, often imitated but never duplicated, the real J-Mac, also known as Jeffy Fresh for the day, because
J-Fresh.
Play with him if you want. Boy, so sharp, get too close, you might get pricked.
You should say in Deutschland, he's Sharon.
Thank you for joining the program today. We are, we're going to delve into the scripture shortly, but we are wondering aloud here, how long can a nation survive when its purported leadership consistently, or let me say it this way, publicly expresses loyalty elsewhere? How long? At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on family, refusing to allow the world to tell you, to dictate to you where your priorities should lie, instead of you saying, no, I have my marching orders, and I must be salt and light first and foremost at home. You know, it's amazing that we're having this conversation as right now in the state of Texas, you have state representatives and state legislators who say, hey, you know, we don't have the votes to stop the Republican majority. Well, we'll just leave. We'll just leave to keep them from having a quorum. We'll just leave. We'll make sure we get out of state, out of the range of the Texas state troopers and the Texas Rangers, which is a thing that they've done previously, which is why it's vitally important that Governor Abbott and Attorney General Paxton's overtures are not merely threats, but that they follow through. If you refuse to be in the state capitol by the deadline, you have abandoned your office and you leave no choice but to have special elections ordered to replace you in the state legislature. Now, I say that after I mention about the primacy of the home, because we must never forget that what's closest to us is the governmental iteration within our Article 4 constitutional Republican form of government that has the most direct impact on our lives. And so it's vitally important for our Texan listeners to know, is your representative one of the ones that just absconded to Chicago and to Illinois? Is your representative one of the ones? You know, what's going on? Do you know who your representatives are? Are they representing your voice in the halls of your state's capital? Or have they taken the citizens' votes as a platform for them to wax politically eloquent and assert their own agendas? That's what we need to know. As you're making your transition to your full-time jobs, the reality of the state of our country punctuates the necessity of us battening down the hatches at home. We will never out-politic, out-vote, frankly, out-church the deficiencies that abound in the home. If each of us, takes the responsibility of manning our square, manning our lane, starting right in our homes, man, it's not a question as to what could happen in our nation, because the question really turns on what can happen in the minds and hearts of the individuals. If you're in a life stage, as I am, where you have young children still in your home, you must not neglect that stage of faithfulness and service to our King. I know sometimes, man, it can feel thankless. Sometimes it can feel very hard. Sometimes one of the unspoken realities of disciple making is that it includes lots of disappointment, lots of vulnerability. It includes lots of raw, real heart exchange. Well, man, I'm telling you, the moments of joy and rejoicing and the most outsized portion of that joy and rejoicing is knowing that you are walking in obedience to what God requires of you. And I'm thinking about it. My oldest daughter, I got two teenagers in the Hamilton household now. Can you believe that? I got two teenagers. My oldest daughter became a teenager here recently. And I'm just watching, man, how the time flies. How the time flies. I'm like, how does this little girl's a teenager now? Now I have two of them. Refuse to allow the world to drive you away from home. Bat down the hatches at home and work outwardly from there. To the word of God we go. Deuteronomy chapter 17. With all of the insanity that's happening in the country, unsurprisingly, God has given us clarity, guidance, and principles to extract from his word that enables us to have a proper perspective and to engage rightly on these matters. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 through 15, you have the recording of Moses' admonition as the second generation of wilderness Israelites are preparing for entree into the promised land. God divinely forecasts the reality that a time will come in Israel's history, well, at that juncture, in their future, when they will want a king. And God, being omniscient, knowing full well what was to transpire, gives them divine wisdom. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 and 15. This is what the word of God says. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, and you possess it and live in it, and you say, I will set a king over me like all the nations who are around me. You shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your countrymen. You shall set as king over yourselves. You may not put a foreigner over yourselves who is not your countrymen. King James says, you shall not put a foreigner over yourselves who is not your brother. Because of the copious notes taken by James Madison at the Constitutional Convention in Independence Hall in Philadelphia, we know that our founders referred to this specific text in articulating a part of the criteria for the United States president and vice presidential offices. The native-born, the natural-born citizen requirement for the U.S. president, U.S. vice president, is based on this text. Now, let's ask a couple questions. Why do you think the divine creator of heaven and earth, who knows the end of a thing from the beginning, who knows everything, who is omniscient, who is omnipotent, why do you think he would set as a prescription for his people? Yeah, y'all gonna want a king. Remember, at this time, you have Moses at this time. You haven't even entered the era of the judges yet. But the Lord said, I know y'all gonna want this, but when this happens, when you guys decide you want a king for yourselves like all the other nations, make sure you have a couple things in place. And this chapter actually provides even more parameters for the Israelite king. But for the sake of the conversation for today, I'm focusing exclusively on verses 14 and 15. Why do you think God required the Israelites to confine the monarchy to, I'll use the text again, it must be your countrymen. From among your countrymen, you shall not put a foreigner over yourselves who is not your country. Why would God do that? Why would God do that? Because God knew, as he knows now, and as wisdom requires, that you cannot have leadership with divided loyalty. With divided national loyalty. That's the bottom line. These are things that used to be commonly understood, you know, and I made this allusion yesterday and I got several comments on this. And I guess not many people have thought about it. Yeah, it's important for our children to understand how to read cursive because all of our founding documents are written in cursive. All of them. All of them. All of them. If we have an entire populace that is completely ignorant as to how to read cursive, they are literally subjugating themselves to some intermediary to translate our founding documents to them. They can't read it for themselves. They can't visit the Library of Congress and read it for themselves. They can't get, you know, intact copies and read it for themselves. They require a linguistic translator. God in his infinite wisdom knew very well we can't have an Israelite monarch with divided loyalties. Now, I understand very well that our founders made that a requirement for the president and the vice president. They did not make it a requirement for Congress members, knowing that they could have. But the principle still applies. Because guess what? In addition to the requirements for the presidential office and the vice presidential office not being a foreigner, guess what the constitutional oath of office is for Congress members? It requires Congress members to declare their allegiance to our nation and to protect and to defend our Constitution. Guess what our oaths of citizenship for naturalization require? They require a declaration of allegiance to our nation and a renunciation. And a renunciation of allegiance to any other. But we firmly entered the realm, and we're going to get to it in the next segment, where we have sitting Congress members. The most recent instance that we're going to get to is a Congress member who is a member of the House of Representatives Border Security and Enforcement Subcommittee. Cannot make this stuff up. Cannot make this stuff up. A current member, right now as you're listening to me, a member of the House of Representatives and a member of the House Border Security and Enforcement Subcommittee, but would saunter on over to Mexico City and say, I'm a proud Guatemalan before I'm American. And the specific translation, because y'all know I got, you know, I don't need Rosetta Stone. I got Maria Stone in my home. I said, baby, what the lady said specifically? What she say? And the specific translation is, I'm Guatemalan with much pride before I'm American. Because you know what she said it in Spanish, you know. She ran that in Espanol. Did she think in the year of our Lord 2025 that we can't translate on the spot? At the very same time, thanks to the massive open borders policy that, frankly, the largest minority in America is no longer black people. A lot of folks don't even realize that. Said it in front of the world, which prompted the question. This is the subscript question. How long can a nation survive when it's elected officials in our context in America publicly and willingly express their loyalty elsewhere? How long? How long? The overarching notion, because notice that's a subscript, the overarching notion is how long can a nation survive? Let me say it better. How long can a nation thrive if we consistently reject the wisdom of God? I think the answer to that question is implied within the question itself. This is something we have to grapple with, but y'all know me. I'm going to bring the receipts. Because this is astounding. We've seen it with Ilhan Omar. Now we're seeing it with Representative Ramirez. And this continues to occur. And in my view, this is a further evidence of the continued, this is evidence of the result of the continued rejection of the Lord at the top line, which has grave consequences for us in reality.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
What should a pro-life church look like? What are some of the priorities, attributes, and perspectives of a local church which seeks to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our nation today as it addresses life issues? A pro-life church needs to be a praying church. Through prayer, they help to usher in the presence of God into their church, and they share the heart and the mind of God with the culture. It can help a church family and an individual believer to both ask and receive the answer to another important question. The question the Apostle Paul asked immediately after he met Christ in Acts chapter 9, verse 6. Lord, what do you want me to do? And a very important companion question is this. Am I really seeking to honor the Lord in doing what he would have me to do as an individual disciple of Christ to help stand for life?
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner, where we're asking the question, can a nation thrive with its elected officials publicly expressing divided loyalty? The answer, as I said, is implied in the question itself. It should be obvious. But apparently it's not so obvious. So what am I talking about? Well, you have this Congress member, Representative Delia Ramirez, who is a Democrat from the state of Illinois. Unsurprisingly, she is an open borders Democrat. She was invited with a cast of fellow regressives to Mexico City, Mexico over the weekend to speak at what's billed as the Second Pan-American Congress. Second Pan-American Congress. I mentioned this in the first segment. This Representative Ramirez is a member of the House of Representatives Border Security and Enforcement Subcommittee. That would be the committee that's tasked with evaluating legislation that deals with, oh yeah, that's right, border security and enforcement. Well, while she was in Mexico City, oh, I'm going to get to that next. Oh, yes. She is one. Her mom is Guatemalan, who is one who entered our country illegally. I'm talking about Representative Ramirez's mother. And she happened to be pregnant when she entered illegally. And Representative Ramirez was born on American soil. But this is why the conversation about the 14th Amendment's assertion concerning birthright citizenship is important. If you read the text of the bill, of the constitutional amendment, it literally offers two primary categories. The whole notion of birthright citizenship is an insane perversion of the constitutional verbiage, because the verbiage literally says that citizenship is conferred to persons born on American soil. That would also apply to American territories abroad, for example, like U.S. military bases and such. But that's only one part of the formula. The next component of the formula is, and they're subject to American jurisdiction, to which I have argued repeatedly that is not enough to be born on American soil. You also have to be a person born on American soil who is subject to America's legal jurisdiction, which presents the reality that if you're born on American soil and you've entered American soil by violating American law, you are, by virtue of that incursion into our nation, not subject to our jurisdiction. That would mean illegal aliens who have entered our country by violating our laws, they're not subject to our legal jurisdiction. Therefore, their children are not automatically conferred citizenship. And we understand this. This is not a hard notion to conceptualize, because we apply it every day to the children born to foreign ambassadors to our nations. When you have the U.S. when you have the German ambassador to the United States of America who lives in the German embassy in Washington, D.C. The German embassy in Washington, D.C., first of all, is viewed as German territory. All right? So if the German ambassador leaves German territory and enters into an American hospital in Washington, D.C., and that German ambassador delivers a child, that child is not automatically an American citizen. Why? Though the child is born on the United States of America's territory, though the child is born in the United States of America, that child is not subject to American jurisdiction. That is why when the children of ambassadors, should they violate American law, they usually, not usually, they're almost always, not almost, they're always never prosecuted in American law. The remedy that is applied when you have the child of a foreign ambassador who violates American law in the United States of America, the remedy is that that child is deported. Why? Because they are not subject to the laws of the American jurisdiction. This is not complicated. You have liars in the media. You have liars who have law degrees who want to try to twist it and make this complicated. It's not complicated. Born on American soil is one issue. The next level of the analysis is the person who's delivering the child subject to an American jurisdiction? That's a simple query. To which, if you violated our law to get here, you're probably not subject to our jurisdiction. Guys, it's not rocket surgery. So Representative Ramirez's mother entered our country illegally, delivered Representative Ramirez in our country, our nation under a perverted notion of the 14th Amendment, conferred citizenship to Representative Ramirez. Representative Ramirez becomes an adult in our nation. Oh, and guess what she does? She marries an illegal alien. What happens with her illegal alien husband? Oh, that's right. He takes shelter under Barack Obama's DACA. Yeah, it can't make this stuff up. Cannot make this stuff up. So what do you think Representative Ramirez's views on matters like, I don't know, immigration might be? Well, you don't have to wonder. Of course, you know I'm going to fill you in. But while she's in Mexico City in delivering her remarks, she had this little offering for the attendees. Let me pull up my rundown here. I thought I had it up. She had this offering for the attendees at the Pan American Congress. Listen to and watch clip number one. Clip one, go.
Quiero terminar diciendo unas palabras en español porque yo soy guatemalteca con mucho orgullo, primero que soy americana.
Now, I know that was in Spanish, and I know the majority of our audience doesn't speak Spanish, but I know there's some, there are lots of people in our audience who does speak Spanish. She said, I'm Guatemalan with much pride before I'm American. Say what? I'm Guatemalan with much pride before I'm American. Ain't that something? A seated Congress member goes to another nation in front of an international audience and says, hey, you know, with much pride, I'm from another country before I'm American, even though that's a place where I'm a congressional elected official, though that's the place where I'm getting paid, though that's the place where the American taxpayer dollars are cobbled together to pay my salary, though that is the place where the American taxpayers are paying for my health care, I ain't on no Obamacare, but I'm going to make sure the American people might be on no Obama. But can I make this stuff up? And if you're wondering, that's right, your tax dollars, just like mine, goes to pay her salary for her to go to the Pan-American Congress and say that I am Guatemalan with much pride before I'm American. I'm sure that won't go a sideways at all. Will it? And did I already mention that she's on the House Border Security and Enforcement Subcommittee? Did I already say that? Yeah. She's on the House Border Security and Enforcement Committee. How secure do you think she wants that border to be? Yeah, you know? How much enforcement do you think Representative Ramirez wants going on in the year of our Lord 2025? Huh? Huh? Well, I'll give you a little, give you a smattering of her latest hits. Y'all ready for this? On the issue of preventing non-citizens from voting in American elections. Because, you know, there was a bill presented in the House of Representatives on this, right? How do you think Representative Ramirez voted? She opposed that. How about this? The Secure Border Act. Did she vote for it or against it? How about this one? The bill that would compel Washington, D.C. to cooperate with federal immigration enforcement activities. Voted against that. How about the Lake and Riley Act? How y'all think she voted on that? Huh? Voted against that. What about the Preventing Violence Against Women by Illegal Aliens Act? How did she vote on that? Opposed that one too. What about the Police Our Border Act? How did she vote on that? Opposed that one too. Shall I continue? Now, of course, I understand. Representative Ramirez is apparent preference for Guatemala over America. Look, this is what she said. I didn't tell her to go to Mexico City and whip out her Espanol and let all the people know, hey, by the way, I just want y'all to know, I'm Guatemalan with much pride before I'm American. I didn't tell her to say that. But this is the thing. People want to say things. And I just happen to have a Bible and I read it. And the Bible says things, crazy things in it, like, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, things like that. Because, you know, a lot of times people like to say, well, you know, I really didn't mean what I said. And look, I speak for a living. So I understand if you talk a lot, then sometimes you can say things and it doesn't come out in the way that you intended it. But generally speaking, people say what they mean. Sometimes when they say, I didn't really mean that, what they mean is I didn't mean for the consequences of what I said to be what they are. Sometimes they really mean I didn't intend for my words, nor did I expect my words to cause the harm that it's caused. But very often people speak what they really believe. Do you think that was a misstep when her saying I am in Spanish that I am Guatemalan with much pride before I'm American? And again, her expression of her division and loyalty isn't the sole basis for her voting the way she did. I know there are other elected officials who were born in our country who voted similarly as she did. But what I'm asking you is, what's more likely? And I want you to think in terms of the scripture we talked about from Deuteronomy 17. What's more likely? If you have a person that's elected and they have expressed a division in loyalty, is it more likely than not that they will maintain their loyalty to our nation in contravention to what they said, or is it more likely they will express loyalty elsewhere? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. What's more likely? Then I'll add this additional assertion. How long can a nation thrive prospectively when you have this type of willingly expressed division and loyalty? Not too long ago, we had the whole phenomenon with Ilhan Omar. You know, do we even need to talk about the whole affair with her saying that her brother was her husband to get into the country? We gonna talk about that? Oh, I can't talk about that. That's Gramsci'd out. That's my new term, by the way, when people telling me this politically correct speech. That's Gramsci'd out. You know, you have the blur thing, you know, over people's mouths when they speak. They Gramsci'd that out. But we can't talk about Ilhan Omar talking about her brother was her husband to get in our country. We can't talk about that. Huh. Very interesting. Who was rescued from a camp in Somalia to be brought into our country. And speaking in Somali, she stated in this is the quote, you know, because I have to get my translation. I have to get as close as possible, as accurate as I can be. When she encouraged the folks in Somali to, quote, sleep in comfort, knowing that she would protect the interests of Somalia from inside the U.S. system, end quote. So I'm supposed to just wink and act like I didn't hear that when that happened. So now we have that happening, and now we have this happening as well. How long should this be allowed to continue? Because we have the reality. Are they duly elected? Sure. You go to the place where Ilhan Omar was elected. I'll just say it this way. Minneapolis looks a lot different these days. All right. Representative Ramirez was elected in Illinois. But don't they have oaths of office? How can you be on the House of Representatives Border Security and Enforcement Subcommittee when you say you have that you are proud Guatemalan first? No, you're a Guatemalan with very much pride. With much pride. I'm sorry. I'm Guatemalan with much pride. How can you be on the House Border Security and Enforcement Subcommittee? Should not the chairman of that committee revisit her committee appointment? Should not the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Speaker Johnson, revisit that committee assignment? I say so. I say so at a minimum. Dare I go further to ask, how can you take the oath of office yet express your loyalty to a foreign nation? I would simply suggest perhaps her oath wasn't truthful. Am I going too far? Am I on the limb? Is the branch teetering? Guys, this is insane. No sane, robust republic would allow any member in our halls of Congress who will say out loud in public, hey, by the way, I'm Guatemalan with much pride before I'm American. Not because I'm an equal opportunity truth teller. Of course, Representative Ramirez objected to the way that her comments are being twisted. Ma'am, ain't nobody twisting your comments. You said what you said with your whole chest. That's what you said. She said, quote, today's attacks are a weak attempt to silence my dissent and invalidate my patriotic criticism of the nativist, white supremacist authoritarians in government, end quote. You know you got to bring that card out. Somebody should email Representative Ramirez. Say, hey, man, a white supremacist.
Why are you crying?
She goes on. Do I have enough time to get this? She goes on to say, quote, it is the definition of hypocrisy that members of Congress who betray their oath of office each day as they enable Trump, that they are attacking me for celebrating my Guatemalan American roots. I am the daughter of immigrants and the daughter of America. I am both Chapina and American. I am from both Guatemala and Chicago, Illinois. End quote. Ma'am, nobody ain't saying you could be a celebrant of where your people came from. But if you are a Congress member, you can't go around the world saying, hey, by the way, I got more loyalty to this other nation than I do to the Congress I serve in and the nation I serve in.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it
is
a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
Growing in your love of God. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Loving God means to think and do what pleases and glorifies Him. Jesus said that loving God is the great and foremost commandment. The problem is your unredeemed flesh is constantly telling you to love yourself, not God. The world wants you to love the things and pleasures of the world, not God. Love for God must be cultivated through drawing near to Him in His Word, in prayer, with other believers in the local church. For when the believer grows in love of God, he will enthusiastically want to worship and obey Him no matter what. Hear our most recent program on growing in your love of God at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to The Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Look, guys, simply put, it's a threat to national security to have somebody who has publicly expressed loyalty to another country sitting on our House Subcommittee on Border Security. Like, this is absurd. This is absurd. She needs to, at a minimum, be removed from that committee immediately. Immediately. She needs to be reexamined concerning her oath of office. This is just absurd. Man, I got so much I didn't plan to spend that much time on that. You have this little ditty. So remember Jim Acosta? Remember him? Remember him?
Have to.
We Bobby says, do we have to? This is just so wild to me, you know. So CNN, in an effort to try to salvage their network, let Jim Acosta know, hey, yo, your show, we're moving to the midnight hour. Nobody's watching you, Jim, and we don't want to clog the airways with your show. So he resigned from CNN. He came to national prominence because of his tangling with President Trump during his first term. And do you remember what President Trump used to always say to him? You are fake news. Remember that? You are fake news. I guess Jim Acosta didn't have enough of that. So he's doing kind of a podcast thing, Substack, whatever. And he announces that he's hosting an interview. But get this. With an AI-generated version, AI, Joaquin Oliver. Now, Joaquin Oliver was a young man who was murdered in the Parkland shooting in 2018. And his parents had created an AI digital version of Joaquin Oliver. Yes, 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 yes. Jim Acosta says he's doing an interview with this AI digitized chatbot attempting to be the, yes, yes. You should see Bobby's face. I wish y'all could see his face of Joaquin Oliver. And he wants to ask the AI questions about gun control. Y'all think I'm joking, but I'm not. Listen to and watch. This is just 24 seconds of Jim Acosta with his AI interview. It's clip number two. Clip two. Go.
Joaquin, I would like to know what your solution would be for gun violence.
Great question. I believe in a mix of stronger gun control laws, mental health support, and community engagement. We need to create safe spaces for conversations and connections, making sure everyone feels seen and heard. It's about building a culture of kindness and understanding. What do you think about that?
I think that's a great idea, Joaquin.
Now, this dude is literally interviewing nobody and saying this is news. Didn't he just self-own himself and admit for all to see that I am the embodiment of fake news? You are literally interviewing no one and saying it's an interview. You know as well as I know, the so-called answers are coming from algorithmic entrances made through computer entries. But he's represented as news, and I'm sure I'm sharing this with you for several reasons. One, you need to be very aware of what's happening with AI. That was very clearly AI. But the AI technological development is happening at very rapid pace. We are going to have to be a discerning people, because there are going to be things that are going to be presented that are not real. But you won't have me to come on and tell you, hey, guys, this is not real beforehand. And it's going to be used to try to deceive a lot of people. Secondarily, It shows how desperate people are for attention and how saddled to their agenda they can be. Because anybody with a brain knows that if you ask an AI-prompted question, it's going to respond with the AI-prompted responses. But this is the time period that we're living in. I just thought that, like, Jim Acosta is the embodiment of self of fake news. This is not an interview, Jim. If you put something in ChatGPT, you can't come on TV and say, hey, I'm doing an interview with ChatGPT.
Cole,
that guy.
You stupid.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. I got so much stuff I need to get to. Let me give you this one. The House Oversight and Government Reform Committee just issued subpoenas for a cast of characters. I'm sure you'll be glad to know about them. Listen to this brief clip on these most recently issued subpoenas. It's clip number four. Clip four, go.
So the first and perhaps most significant aspect of this is that they are asking for the Department of Justice to release all those records to the committee by as soon as August 19th. And then they have a long list of depositions that they plan to take place as part of the oversight committee from Attorneys General William Barr, Alberto Gonzalez, Jeff Sessions, the former FBI director, Robert Mueller, also Loretta Lynch, Eric Holder, Merrick Garland, former FBI director, James Comey, and then, of course, the two biggest names, the former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, and the former president, Bill Clinton.
Yeah, buddy boy. Quite the hit list. Quite the list of characters. I would call this the opening salvo to the cadre of traitors. The opening salvo. Now, this is related to the Epstein case and the Epstein files, but having these people under oath. Robert Mueller, you know, old Rob, old Bob there.
We have seen the Russian collusion investigation. We are investigating the collusion.
Well, all the evidence that's coming out now that you jokers knew, I'm not saying him personally, but he may. But certainly the people who spurred the conversation knew that that was a fraud and it was fake from the beginning. Speaking of fraud and fake from the beginning. Oh, who's on the list? Oh, James Comey the Clown. Isn't that something? James Comey the Clown. Loretta Lynch, Eric Holder. Mm-hmm. She Who Shall Never Be President. And Mr. I Ain't Got Time for Osama Bin Laden, because, you know, I did not have with that woman. You do realize those issues are connected, right? Bill Clinton was so consumed with Monica Lewinsky and others, he didn't have time to deal with Osama Bin Laden. Mm-hmm. So they are being subpoenaed. And I'm going to keep saying this. Somebody call me when somebody's getting handcuffs put on them. When handcuffs are applied. Then you have this little offering. And I want you to connect these dots. So on one hand, we have the publicly expressed subjugation of loyalty. It's not just a divided loyalty, because what Representative Ramirez says is that she is Guatemalan with much pride before she's American. So she expressed that in terms of her hierarchy of allegiances, Guatemala trumps, pun intended, the United States of America. So you have that on one front. Then on the other front, you have this. Liawatha, y'all remember her, right? Yeah. Elizabeth Warren, Senator Elizabeth Warren. Unaffectionately known as Liawatha, because, you know, she's Native American, she says, on her application for the bar exam. She says Zoran Mamdani's message is the Democrat message. What? Yes. Listen to and watch Clip number three. Clip three, go.
When someone stands up and says, I will lead this city by making it more affordable. And here are my plans, real plans, plans to deliver on childcare, plans to deliver on housing, plans to deliver. We're going to experiment. We're going to try things on groceries. That is the Democratic message.
That's the Democratic message? I don't want to be unfair to Hiawatha, but is she saying globalized intifada is a Democratic message?
Cole, you stupid.
Is she saying praise for terrorists and the ones that were prosecuted in the Holy Land Foundation trial that Zura Mamdani put in his rap song that he was celebrating, you know? Government-owned grocery stores, Zura Mamdani, that's the Democrat message? Guys, look, I'm inviting you to do several things. Listen to what they say and watch what they do, and then you come to your own conclusions. Do you think Hiawatha is lying now and saying that that's the Democrat message? Do you think Representative Ramirez is consistent with or an aberration from the Democrat Party posture? Where she says, I am a blank nation, fill in the blank, with much pride before I'm American. Do you think she is indicative of the Democrat Party's position generally, or is she an aberration from that position generally? Is Hiawatha lying when she says Zora Mamdani's message is the message of the Democrat Party? Remember, I told you about Minnesota Omar Fatah, another socialist. And I mean, Mamdani calls himself a socialist. It's not a pejorative to say this dude is an outright Marxist. Connect the dots, guys. Connect it. Remember what I told you about the Cloward-Piven strategy? How Richard Cloward and his wife, Frances Fox Piven, used Marxist tactics to force the city of New York into bankruptcy by overwhelming its welfare system, never intending for anybody to get any welfare benefits, but solely for one purpose, stop me if you heard this before, fundamentally transforming economics in the city of New York. To force the city into bankruptcy so that it would have no choice but to reconstitute itself more aligned with the Marxist agenda economically. I told you the immigration crisis is the Cloward-Piven strategy applied to our southern border. Thanks to the Doge team, we found out they're not only letting folks in the country illegally, they're immediately enrolling them in all manner of welfare benefits. Guys, this is happening right before our very eyes. So when Hiawatha hollers, yeah, you know, Zora Mamdani's message is a Democrat message. She lies about a lot, but she's not lying there. All you have to do is follow what's happening. You have a person who is on the House Border Security and Enforcement Subcommittee who goes to Mexico City and says that I'm Guatemalan with much pride before I'm American, and she votes against every effort to protect the southern border. You cannot make this stuff up, guys. Abraham Lincoln long opined that the nation that God has afforded us in this country would never be destroyed from without. The facts are we have the finest fighting force in the world. That's the reality. The bunker busting phenomenon in Iran just once again showed the world again. It shouldn't be winked at that following that display, all of NATO wants to pay up. You have all of these trade deals happening internationally. Ursula von der Leyen looked like she was in a dunce class sitting in front of Trump when Trump was basically announcing a trade deal. He said, yeah, we basically took the EU, put them over our knees and spanked them. We spanked them. You think it's a coincidence that happened after the world was reminded, oh, yeah, the U.S., we don't want no problems with the U.S. So in order to have any type of success in subverting the United States of America, it has to happen from within. And what is happening within? We have illegal immigrants being poured into our country, but notice where they're being placed, specifically, overwhelmingly in areas to affect the populace. We have the descendants of those. Representative Ramirez's mom was an illegal alien. She marries an illegal alien. From her position on the House Subcommittee on Border Security, she votes against every bill concerning border security. We have Hiawatha and her ilk. Don't learn cursive. Denounce American values. You know what? We need a more Marxist vision for our country. Mamdani's message is the Democrat Party's message. And then we have the Democrat light rhinos in the Republican Party that are all willing to go along with it. Why is President Trump's nominee still not confirmed yet? With Republican majority in the Senate. The blue slip rule? I'm saying, guys, we need to recognize what's happening because it's happening right in front of our very eyes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.